Ready for sunshine culture and new stories? Sun Express Airlines takes you nonstop from London Stansted to Turkey. From the Turkish Riviera's turquoise coast to the heart of Anatolia, your next getaway awaits in Antalya, Izmir, Cappadocia, Adana, or Gaziantep. Book now from just £59.99 and let Turkiye welcome you.
Today, May 6, 2026, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. Hope your week is going well. You are now halfway to another weekend, which is always a good thing. I hope you, your family, your friends, everyone is staying strong and staying healthy right now. And hey, we have got a lot to get to today. Because those NBA playoffs, yeah, they're now down to just 8 teams remaining. And that first round, hey, it was pretty wild. Over in the East, the number one Detroit Pistons, they had to go to a game 7 to get past the number 8 seeded Orlando Magic. Not good if you're Detroit. Also, not good if you're the Magic because they fired their head coach when they lost that. I don't think they had any business winning that series, but they still fired their head coach. Detroit will now face the Cleveland Cavaliers, who also had to win a game 7 over the pesky Toronto Raptors. Both of those teams, hey, they've got to be exhausted now, and now they're going to try to beat up on each other. Meanwhile, the New York Knicks will be facing the Philadelphia 76ers. Hey, the Sixers actually knocked off my pick for the East to make the finals. I had picked the Boston Celtics, but the Sixers knocked them out in 7 games, as Celtics superstar Jason Tatum had to sit out with that knee. And when he did, that series really kind of swung when he went out. Now, the Knicks will face the Sixers, and we will get to see Karl Anthony Towns and Joel Embiid battle for, well, I don't know, who wants it less or whatever. In the West, the Oklahoma City Thunder swept the Phoenix Suns pretty easily. And now, they will be facing the Los Angeles Lakers, who beat the Houston Rockets. They started strong, struggled a little bit, but they finished off the Rockets. Hey, the Lakers had better bring it against the Thunder, though. This might be another sweep. I'm going to say Thunder in 5 here. I don't think the Lakers are going to match up that well. And then the San Antonio Spurs beat the Portland Trailblazers in 5 games. And, of course, the Minnesota Timberwolves out-toughed my Denver Nuggets in 6 games. And you know the more depressing part about it? They did it with their junior varsity. The Nuggets have a history of underachieving. If you want to go back and look it up, I've been watching this team since they were like in the ABA. And in all but pretty much 2 years, they have underachieved. And this year, they got back to who they truly are, underachievers that never win anything. And here's the problem. They don't really have any moves that they can make to change their roster all that much. The contracts they have are staying on the books. I don't know how you get anyone to take it. So now we get the Timberwolves versus the Spurs. I think the Spurs get that one. But I think the Oklahoma City Thunder will eventually go on to the NBA Finals. And I think they'll win it. And if you have any doubt, just watch how they're officiated and you'll agree with me. Hey, today on The Dose, I know it is spring. The Kentucky Derby just ran. We may have had a horse get upside down a little bit. And like I said, those NBA playoffs are rolling. The NHL playoffs are rolling. But you know what? I know I shouldn't, but I already missed the NFL. Today, we're going to have an NFL-flavored Daily Dose. But first, I do want to talk a little bit about those other playoffs that are going on, because it isn't just the NBA that is down to their final 8 teams. The Stanley Cup playoffs are also now past the first round. And hey, we have had some wild series playing out over in the world of hockey as well. Over in the East, the Buffalo Sabres, hey, they're young, but they're really talented. And they outlasted the Boston Bruins in 6 games and advanced to where they're going to play another young and very talented team in the Montreal Canadiens, who had to go to a game 7. Where they shocked the veteran Tampa Bay Lightning by beating them, get this, 2-1 in a game in which Montreal put just 9 shots on goal. You put 9 shots on goal and 2 of them scored? Yeah, that's not a great save percentage for who is a very good goalie in Andrei Vasilevsky. I mean, this guy is one of the best goalies ever, and he had 2 fluky goals get past him. It was just that kind of crazy series, though. The other series over the East will be the Carolina Hurricanes, who look like the top team over in that conference by a long shot. They swept their opening opponent, the Ottawa Senators, and they made it look easy. Now, Carolina will be facing the Philadelphia Flyers, and I don't think they're going to have much trouble with Philly. Meanwhile, in the Western Conference, my Colorado Avalanche swept the Los Angeles Kings. And no, the Kings aren't that talented, but Colorado did have to deal with some physicality, getting punched in the face a little bit. And now, Colorado is in a wild series with the Minnesota Wild, who knocked out the defending Western Conference champion Dallas Stars in a brutal series that went 6 games. I mean, this Avalanche Wild Series, though, it's going to be insane. I mean, in game 1 alone, you had 15 goals by 14 different goal scorers, and the Avs scraped out a 9-6 win. Is this baseball? Or, I don't know, if you're Cleveland football? I'm sure not every game will be like that, but this series is must-see TV. And that's not me being a homer. I'm just telling you, this is must-see TV. And then the final series in the West will feature the Las Vegas Golden Knights and the Anaheim Ducks. And I think this series is another one that could be very high scoring because neither team really cares all that much about playing defense. So this could absolutely be a shootout. I know I say it every year, but I'm telling you, the Stanley Cup playoffs, they are like criminally underrated. And yes, the NHL has been stupid with the way they seed their playoffs, and I get that. But once the puck drops, tune in. You're going to be entertained. It is every bit as exciting as the NFL playoffs or March Madness. Every single shift is life or death. The NHL playoffs are really, really exciting. I encourage you to tune in.
Ready for sunshine culture and new stories? Sun Express Airlines takes you nonstop from London Stansted to Turkey. From the Turkish Riviera's turquoise coast to the heart of Anatolia, your next getaway awaits in Antalya, Izmir, Cappadocia, Adana, or Gaziantep. Book now from just £59.99 and let Turkaya welcome you.
Hey, remember that you should be stopping by DailyDoseSports.com every week to see what new things we have going on over there. We have links to the podcast. We have links to new articles every week. In fact, we had an article go up this week about the Denver Nuggets and what a mess that they are. And remember, you can pick up some Daily Dose gear over there as well. We've got t-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, baseball caps. Got it all over at DailyDoseSports.com. So make sure you're stopping by. Also, remember, you can always email the podcast at DailyDoseSports@gmail.com. We do hear from listeners regularly. I'll always take the time to respond. And sometimes we might end up using what you send in on the show. So feel free to email the dose. So the NFL draft is now complete. NFL free agency is, well, mostly over. And now the next real step for NFL teams is going to be training camps opening. However, as we get ready to go into the summer, I don't care what team you're a fan of, every single NFL team, they've got a few questions that they need to answer as they get into the season. And today we are going to look at every single NFL team and what their biggest offseason question might be. Let's start off in the AFC East with the Buffalo Bills, who went 12-5 last year and made the playoffs as a wild card. But in a season where Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, and Lamar Jackson all were eliminated, the Bills and quarterback Josh Allen, they still couldn't get any further than the divisional round as they were eliminated in dramatic fashion by the Denver Broncos. So the biggest question going into this next season will be, did the Bills get enough help for Josh Allen? Hey, the Bills went out and made a trade for wide receiver DJ Moore. Is he spectacular? No, but he's usually there, and he's usually pretty steady. They did also sign edge rusher Bradley Chubb. I don't know if that's that big. And they picked up safety Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. That could be an upgrade in the secondary. But is it enough? Because I feel like that championship window is closing quickly in Buffalo. We move next to the Miami Dolphins, who after going 7-10, decided it was time to make some big changes. They fired head coach Mike McDaniel, and they hired Packers defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley. Also gone is quarterback Tua Tagovailoa, and the Dolphins signed Packers backup quarterback Malik Willis. Something about the Dolphins, they really got a big crush on the Packers. Not sure what that's about. So I guess the biggest question for the Dolphins is going to be this. Was Tua most of the problem in Miami? Because aside from swapping quarterbacks, I don't know that the Dolphins really did all that much with their roster. Maybe Hafley is the key. Maybe he can change something for this group and get them back on track. Next up, the New England Patriots looked like they were ahead of schedule last year. They went 14-3 and all the way to the Super Bowl. Sure, they lost to the Seattle Seahawks, but hey, the Patriots won a lot of games last year. That's the good news. Here's the bad news. The Patriots played the 30th ranked schedule in terms of strength, and in the playoffs, they face CJ Stroud, a broken Chargers team, and a backup quarterback in Denver. Well, this year, the schedule won't be nearly as easy. So the question for the Patriots, for me, is, was quarterback Drake May a fluke? Because in the postseason, he didn't look so good. He threw just 6 touchdowns to 4 interceptions, and really, the Patriots just capitalized on soft competition. Now, maybe May was injured. I'm not sure. But we're going to find out this year because the Patriots' schedule will jump up another level. We finish up the AFC East with the New York Jets, who seem to just keep getting worse every single year. The Jets went 3-14 last year, and the bad news was that once again, they seem to go backward. Hey, we know the Jets' offense is always terrible, but last year, the defense was bad too. But remember last year, the Jets had hired former Detroit Lions defensive coordinator Aaron Glenn to be their head coach, yet they somehow got worse. So I think the question for the Jets is, can Aaron Glenn improve the interior of that defense? Because that defensive front had some talent. So how in the world did the Jets give up more than 500 points last year? The Jets had better show some improvement, or Aaron Glenn's going to be in big trouble. We move next to the NFC East, and we start with the Dallas Cowboys, who once again underachieved last year. The Cowboys were 7-9-1, and while yes, they scored nearly 28 points per game, they allowed over 30 points per game and more than 6 yards per play in head coach Brian Schottenheimer's first season on the job. So here's the question. Can Brian Schottenheimer coach defense? Because remember, Mike McCarthy actually had shown some improvement on the defensive side when he was there. But last year, that defense collapsed under Schottenheimer, and the Cowboys floundered. It better improve this year. The New York Giants were showing some promise last year as well. They beat both the Chargers and the Eagles early on, but then injuries took place, and the Giants' season went south real fast. They finished 4-13. But I mean, when the Giants had quarterback Jackson Dart and running back Cam Scadabo healthy, they were at least fun to watch. So here's my question. Can Dart and Scadabo actually stay healthy? It isn't just the luck of the draw with these two. They need to show the ability, the mental ability, to avoid dumb, silly collisions that aren't needed. Hey, I realize they're both tough guys. I get it. You can't win games from the training room. Can the Giants' key players stay on the field? We move next to the Philadelphia Eagles, who were again solid last year. They won the NFC East with an 11-6 record. Then they kind of came unraveled in the playoffs, and they lost to the San Francisco 49ers in the wildcard game. Look, I know there are people that say quarterback Jalen Hurts is a problem. And of course, we saw last year, wide receiver A.J. Brown was a problem. But here's my question for the Eagles. I don't think that stuff matters. Can the offensive line become a strength again? Because no, Jalen Hurts isn't the guy you want throwing the ball 40, 50 times. You want that offensive line to dominate up front. You run the ball, you eat clock, you do the tush push, you grind out first downs. If the Eagles get back to that, yeah, they're going to be a contender again. If not, it's going to be real similar to last year. We finish off the NFC East with the Washington Commanders, who showed a few flashes of improvement, but then quarterback Jaden McDaniels went down with an injury and the season went with him. The Commanders actually lost 8 games in a row at one point. They finished 5-12. Well, what I want to watch this year is, are the Commanders going to give Jaden McDaniels some support? because in just 7 games, he was sacked 18 times. And the Commanders need some more help offensively. Wide receiver Deebo Samuel, he's getting older. Terry McLaurin is phenomenal, but you need someone else. You need that defense to get back to creating some turnovers. McDaniels needs help. He can't do it on his own. Next, let's move to the AFC North, and we will start with the Baltimore Ravens, who just might have been the biggest disappointment in the entire NFL last year. They went 8-9 and missed the postseason for the first time since 2021. Then, the Ravens fired longtime head coach John Harbaugh. They have now hired Chargers defensive coordinator Jesse Minter. Hey, Harbaugh had been in Baltimore since 2008. That's a big move. So I've got to ask, can the Ravens shakeup pay off? Because here's the thing. You hope to get better. What if you get worse? Hey, it's possible. I don't think it's probable. I think they'll be okay. But what if Baltimore actually regresses now? We'll keep an eye on that. We move next to the Cincinnati Bengals, who just keep doing the same thing again and again and again and hoping for different results. Last year, the Bengals finished 6-11. Why? Their defense isn't very good, and quarterback Joe Burrow gets hit too many times, and he misses half the season with injuries, and it happened again. Well, this year, the Bengals have already lost defensive tackle Trey Hendrickson to Baltimore, so they went and traded for Dexter Lawrence from the Giants to help out that defensive front. But as usual, this comes back to one question. Can the Bengals protect Joe Burrow? Now, they did make a few moves on that offensive line. But then they also signed Joe Flacco to back up Burrow, which tells me they're just planning on him getting hurt again. We go next to the land of Cleve, where the Cleveland Browns were terrible again. They went just 5-12 last year. The defense was at least scrappy with Garrett Miles, but the Browns' offense averaged just 16 points a game. Now, if the Browns did anything on offense, they could have won some games. So here's the question. Who's their quarterback? Shedeur Sanders started 8 games. Dylan Gabriel started 10 games. They were both awful. But the Browns are paying Deshaun Watson $44 million this coming season. Shouldn't he actually get in a game at some point? The Browns have got to find someone to take that quarterback job and actually do something with it. We finish up the AFC North with the Pittsburgh Steelers, who had another weird season. Yes, the Steelers went 10-7. They made the playoffs, but then they got throttled by the Houston Texans 30-6 when they got there. And then head coach Mike Tomlin resigned, and the Steelers went and hired former Dallas Cowboys coach, former Green Bay Packers coach, Mike McCarthy. Now, offensively, the Steelers rank near the bottom of most offensive categories. So here's my question. Are the Steelers really going to run this back with Aaron Rodgers again at quarterback? I mean, don't we already know how this ends up? That's not really your plan, right? You've got something else going, right? I hope so. Let's move to the NFC North, which actually did get back to being a pretty tough division last year, and the Chicago Bears won that division with an 11-6 record. Quarterback Caleb Williams, he kind of lived up to the hype. He put together a really impressive season. The Bears would eventually lose to the Rams in the postseason, but it wasn't because of the offense. No, the problem for the Bears was that their defense gave up 24 points per game. So here's what I want to watch in Chicago this year. Can the Bears find a pass rush? The Bears defense had just 35 sacks all year. They ranked 22nd overall. They need some defense if they're going to build on that success from a year ago. The Detroit Lions took a big step backward this past season. After going 15-2 in 2024, the Lions lost both their offensive and defensive coordinators, and they crashed back to earth this last year. They went just 9-8 and missed the playoffs. The defense wasn't great. They gave up 24 points a game. But we kind of expect that, don't we? No, the problem was that the offense wasn't nearly as explosive. After averaging 33 points a game in 2024, they scored just 28 points a game this past year. So the question is, can that offense get back? Hey, Jared Goff has a lot of weapons, but they didn't score as many points last year. Teams found a way to shut them down. Can the Lions get back into contention? They're going to need their offense to step up. The Green Bay Packers were a very mixed bag this year. They went 9-7-1 and lost to the Bears in a crazy wild card game in the final minutes. But here is something to think about with Green Bay. They ranked 15th in offensive yardage. They rank 17th in passing yards, 15th in rushing yards. Defensively, they rank 12th in yards allowed, 11th in scoring allowed. Okay, so my question is, what do you do well? What is this team's strength? The Packers need an identity. I have no idea what it is. They're just kind of middle of the pack everywhere. We complete the NFC North with the Minnesota Vikings, who were hoping to contend for a postseason berth last year, only to see second-year quarterback J.J. McCarthy look like maybe the worst quarterback in the league. The Vikings struggled to a 9-8 record, and they missed the postseason. So in the offseason, they've gone out and signed, well, if not a full quarterback, like a half a quarterback in Kyler Murray.
Man, that's just mean.
And the Vikings do have some offensive weapons. So here's the question. Can Kyler Murray revive his career in Minnesota? Now, that might sound crazy, but I remember a guy named Sam Darnold, and he did exactly that in Minnesota. We'll see if Kyler Murray can do the same.
Ready for sunshine culture and new stories? Sun Express Airlines takes you nonstop from London Stansted to Turkey. From the Turkish Riviera's turquoise coast to the heart of Anatolia, your next getaway awaits in Antalya, Izmir, Cappadocia, Adana, or Gaziantep. Book now from just £59.99 and let Turkiye welcome you.
Let's go to the AFC South, where the Houston Texans had a solid 12-5 record. They won a playoff game against the Steelers, and then they got thumped by the New England Patriots. But for the Texans, our question is easy. Is quarterback C.J. Stroud okay? He threw 23 touchdowns as a rookie. Pretty impressive. 20 touchdowns in his second year. 19 touchdowns last year. And last year, he only got sacked 23 times. So then I start to worry, is Stroud gun-shy? Because in his second season, he got sacked 52 times. So is C.J. Stroud going to rebound? Is he okay? Or did the Texans break their franchise quarterback? Need to keep an eye on that. We go next to one of the oddest teams in the NFL with the Indianapolis Colts. Last season, the Colts started strong. They had a 7-1 record at the break. Quarterback Daniel Jones was playing well. Running back Jonathan Taylor was an MVP contender at the midway point. And then Daniel Jones got hurt. So the Colts tried to play Anthony Richardson. They tried to play Riley Leonard. They ended up bringing back 78-year-old Philip Rivers to play. And the Colts closed the season by losing 8 of their final 9 games, including their final 7 games in a row. Now, we can just say, hey, Jones is back. All is fixed. It's all good again. But I gotta ask, does that kind of collapse from last year carry over at all into this year? Because the first time you fall behind, the doubts are going to creep back in. I want to see if the Colts are going to be able to overcome that. The Jacksonville Jaguars finally seemed to put some things together last year. Quarterback Trevor Lawrence was solid. The defense actually held its own. The Jags finished the season 13-4, but they were beaten in the wild card round of the playoffs by the Buffalo Bills. And in that playoff game, what was it that bit the Jags? Mostly their inability to rush the passer. They sacked Josh Allen just one time. He threw for nearly 300 yards, and that wasn't just a one-time thing. The Jacksonville Jaguars had just 32 sacks on the entire season. So can the Jags find a pass rush? Because it's going to be very hard to win big games if they can't. Let's finish up the AFC South with the Tennessee Titans, who had a rough year, going just 3-14. But hey, this is a young team. They're rebuilding. And rookie quarterback Cam Ward, he showed some flashes of eventually maybe being a bona fide starter in this league. However, he also had some flashes that left everyone in the building wondering what in the world he was doing. So my question for the Titans is, can Cam Ward mature as a quarterback? Can he start to eliminate those silly plays and start to look more like an NFL starter? Let's go next to the NFC South, and we start with the Atlanta Falcons, who seem to just be stuck in being mediocre. They haven't won more than 8 games since 2017. And after going 8-9 yet again last year, they fired head coach Raheem Morris, and they hired former Cleveland Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski to see if he can get this offense going. Now, this offense is going to have both Michael Penix and Tua Tagovailoa as their quarterbacks. Not so sure about that. And Stefanski is just 45 and 56 in his career as a head coach. So my question for the Falcons, is Kevin Stefanski actually the answer? Because this seems like a really big task for him to shore up. I'm not sure about the Atlanta Falcons. The Carolina Panthers won the NFC South last year, mostly by default, but it still happened. And I'm not positive that was actually good news. The Panthers went 8-9. They made the playoffs. They lost to the Rams in what ended up actually being kind of a tight wildcard game. But here's where it gets dicey. The Panthers picked up the fifth-year option on quarterback Bryce Young. And I mean, he did play well at times. Well, they say they want to get him signed to a long-term deal. You know, like the Cardinals did with Kyler, like the Dolphins did with Tua. So my question is, are the Panthers going to end up regretting picking up his player option? Because they might. The New Orleans Saints are in rebuild mode and finished the season 6-11 last year. That was actually better than I expected. And you know, the Saints actually think they might have found their future quarterback in Tyler Shuck. The Saints have got to improve their running game. They need to take the pressure off of both their quarterback and their defense if they could do that. Speaking of their defense, our question for New Orleans does pertain to that defense, and it is, can the Saints continue to get production from aging stars Cameron Jordan and DeMario Davis? Because your offense, it's probably not going to bail you out very often. So your defense is going to have to carry the load. And you need those two veterans to continue to play at a high level. And they're getting up there in age. We finish off with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who, yes, also went 8-9 in this terrible division and missed the playoffs. And you know what? I'm not sure that quarterback Baker Mayfield can truly be a Super Bowl contending kind of quarterback. But I know this. The Buccaneers defense allowed more than 24 points per game in every game. That is the worst in this terrible division. And that's really saying something. So the question here is easy. Can this Tampa defense get better? Because if you think Baker Mayfield is just going to outscore people every week, you're going to be in for a bad time.
You're going to have a bad time.
We reach the final division in the AFC, and that is in the West. And we start with my Denver Broncos, who went 14-3 last year. They went all the way to the AFC Championship, but then they lost quarterback Bo Nix in the divisional round to an ankle injury, and backup Jarrett Stidham was not ready for prime time. The Broncos lost to the Patriots. But you know, the Broncos won 11 one-score games last year. And I'll be honest, some of them were a little dicey. So my question for my hometown team is, were the Broncos just lucky last year? Or have they assembled enough talent to keep things rolling this year? Because those one-score games, they usually tend to even out over time. Denver has got to be better this year than they were last year. The Kansas City Chiefs are coming off of their worst season since 2014. They went 6-11 and missed the postseason. Quarterback Patrick Mahomes blew his knee in week 15, and the season quickly went down the drain. Well, the Chiefs have brought back offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy in hopes of revving that stagnant offense back to life. But here's my question for KC. Are the Chiefs still truly a contender? Because remember, tight end Travis Kelce is another year older. We don't know when Patrick Mahomes will be back. Can the defense keep rolling the way they have been? Because they've lost a few people now. Are the Chiefs still a contender? We're going to find out. The Las Vegas Raiders finished the season with the worst record in the league last year at 3-14, and they got the number one draft pick, where they took Indiana quarterback Fernando Mendoza. Now, the Raiders still need some more pieces, but they are slowly rebuilding that offense. Here is my question, and it's actually on the other side of the ball. What do the Raiders do with Max Crosby? Because remember, the Raiders had agreed to trade him to Baltimore, and then Baltimore backed out of the deal. Okay, so Max is back. But does he want to be there? I mean, is all just forgotten? Does he continue to play like he used to, knowing that team wanted to get rid of him? Or do the Raiders eventually try to still move him? Going to be interesting to watch, because there have to be some real weird feelings in that locker room. Final team in the AFC West is the Los Angeles Chargers, who might be the most snakebit team in the league. It's close. Last year was just further proof. The Chargers went 11-6. They made the playoffs, but they had so many injuries they just couldn't compete when they got there. Starting offensive lineman Joe Alt got hurt, Rashawn Slater got hurt, and so they had to put backups in the lineup, and quarterback Justin Herbert took a beating. He got sacked 54 times last year. Well, this year, I want to look at, can the Chargers offensive line return to form with those guys back in the lineup? Because if Herbert's getting hit that often, yeah, he ain't going to make it again. So we finish up in the final division of the NFL on our list today, and that is the NFC West. And we start with the Arizona Cardinals, who also went 3-14 last year and gave up on both quarterback Kyler Murray and head coach Jonathan Gannon. Rams offensive coordinator Mike LaFleur is now the new coach, and it looks like maybe Jacoby Brissett is going to be the starting quarterback. Brissett has a couple of weapons in tight end Chase McBride and now rookie running back Jeremiah Love. But that defense in Arizona is terrible. We know that. So can the Cards get anything out of Jacoby Brissett? Because if he's bad, yeah, this season's going to be another disaster. Maybe that's what the Cardinals want. Maybe they just want a disaster, and then next year they'll try to find someone in the draft. I don't know. Next up, did you know that currently the Los Angeles Rams have the best odds of making it to the Super Bowl this year? It's kind of impressive. The Rams went 12-5 last year. They gave the eventual champs, the Seattle Seahawks, their toughest test of the playoffs. The Rams have veteran quarterback Matt Stafford. They have physical wide receiver Puka Nacua. They have a very scrappy defense. Hey, another offensive weapon on this team? Yeah, the Rams might be the Super Bowl favorite. So the Rams went out in the NFL draft and used their number 13 pick on a quarterback to sit at Matt Stafford's knee, apparently. I don't get it. Here's my question. Could that draft pick carry some bad feelings in that locker room? Does the Ty Simpson pick have any lasting effects? Because I honestly, yeah, I think it might. The Seattle Seahawks went 14-3 and of course won Super Bowl 60 behind quarterback Sam Darnold, a two-headed running game, and a very opportunistic defense. Now, the Seahawks did lose Super Bowl MVP running back Kenneth Walker in free agency, but they lost someone else that might be even more concerning. Because offensive coordinator Clint Kubiak, yeah, he's now in Vegas coaching the Raiders. What is that offense going to look like without Kenneth Walker and without Kubiak? Might be very, very different. Our final team in the NFL is the San Francisco 49ers, another team that had a rough season from a standpoint of injuries. The Niners went 12-5. They actually won a playoff game against the Eagles and then got blasted by the Seahawks 41-6. But like I said, this team had so many injuries. It's actually pretty amazing they even made it that far. Nick Bosa, George Kittle, Fred Warner, Brock Purdy, Ricky Pearsall, they all missed significant time. So my question for the 49ers is simple. What will this team even look like when everyone is back on the field, especially defensively? Because they did lose a lot of key contributors. Not even sure what they would look like if they had everyone. But I'll be interested to see when they get everyone back and can they keep everyone on the field. Yes, I realize the NFL season is a long ways off. But now most of the offseason fireworks have settled, and we kind of have a better idea of what to look for as training camps are going to begin. And they're going to begin in just a few weeks. It won't be long at all until we're in the summer and we're seeing training camps begin to open. Hey, next week on The Dose, we are going to have something a little bit different for you, but I think you will genuinely enjoy it. So be sure you check out The Dose and be sure you let a friend know to do the same. Hey, I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to The Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. But more than anything, thank you for sharing the show, for sharing the videos, and for sharing the articles with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week, everybody.
You're gonna have a bad time.